Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness through God's servant.
With him. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for season of the Spirit. We thank you for the great privilege to experience your grace. Thank you for the blessings that you have prepared for this house, for us in the house. Thank you. We give you all the praise. We draw with joy. Lebrenevosia. Lord, we thank you. Thank you. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, Father, we give you all the praise. We thank you for season of the Spirit. We know you are indeed set to bless us. You have indeed spoken good concerning us. We set our eyes like the flint, our face looking up to you, trusting that you will bless us greatly today. Our expectations are high. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the administration of grace that is upon this house. Thank you for the design to bring us further into your life. We give you praise. Lord, I bow to you this morning and I ask that you will help me. As I bring a charge, I ask that you will help me this morning in the name of Jesus. Take off me, Lord, and bring blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I especially welcome everyone to these meetings. Sometimes we are used to meetings that happen, special programs that happen from Fridays or Thursdays to Sunday. But we now have the one that happens every Sunday. I hope we're able to keep up the momentum. Hallelujah. God is our strength. We'll not lose the essence what God wants to give us through the week in, week out, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we've been having some very great times. We've had great times. Last Sunday was awesome. And God is going to build on that today. Just want to read some scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange land, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now, 16. They desire a better country that is unheavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Praise the Lord. So we see all over scriptures, we see God in very unique, peculiar ways dealing with his people. But in the course of dealing, so the Bible is actually a compendium, but in the Old Testament, it's a compendium of how God dealt with different people through different civilizations, through different unique experiences, unique challenges, and how they responded to God. Hallelujah. And in the midst of that, a people were able to specifically capture God's thoughts for that moment. And in capturing God's thought for that moment, they lived up to a standard that God called righteousness. Hallelujah. As they were able to capture it, they held on to it. It became a reality. Some of it was momentary. They didn't fully understand it, but they just obeyed a specific word, a specific instruction. And it became a standard, a definition of what God would call for righteousness for them as they responded to it. So we see cases where people may not have consistently done exactly the will of God, but something very specific set a tone. And we have also cases of people who could journey from one moment to another, who could hear and who could take on the word of God and take it on. And we also saw people, through scriptures, we saw stories, we saw kings, we saw men who had God's word, as it were, prophecies given to them about what they would do. And eventually those prophecies came to pass. And when those prophecies came to pass, because the intent of God was lost, those prophecies, the purpose of God for those prophecies was wasted. A good example is Rehoboam, the son of Nebat, that called Israel to sin. God had to speak very prophetically through a unique means of how God was going to bless, going to empower him and make him great. But when he came in, we saw how he got it on the platter of gold, on a platter, and he now saw how the inner workings of his soul, his insecurity. He could afford to undermine a divine order of worship because he wanted to secure his own style, his own position of leadership. Hallelujah. So we've had that challenge with men, ability to capture what God wants, hold it and run with it throughout a lifetime and pass it on to another generation. Hallelujah. And that is where a whole lot happens. And thank God, when we read the patriarchs, we can take some stories and take some learnings. Looking at Noah, Bible calls him a righteous man. By the righteousness which he obtained, he became the heir of righteousness. Bible says he condemned the world. At that stage, the whole world was headed somewhere else. He condemned the world. I have a version that always intrigued me. He said he proved the world wrong. How did he prove the world wrong? He captured a reality of a world that he has not seen and held on to it. And he followed that conversation that did not make sense because rain had not been. A different kind of conversation was eluding the earth, and somebody held on to it. And by that, he condemned the world. He proved that a life that God had shown him could truly, truly emerge and submerge darkness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we see different models, prototypes of how God, people captured a reality, an experience, an instruction of God. You see our father Abraham, the father of faith. He made specific response to God, journeys from one point to the other. We saw how he responded at every point. But that response, we saw a progression. Because what God had promised him, by reason of how God trained him and the part he trained him, he gave him an understanding of what was ahead of him. Such that even when he had that experience, even when he now had the son, when he got the land, the handling of that land and the handling of the son became different. Hallelujah. Bible recorded that he sojourned in the land of promise. How can you have a land of promise and you live in the land as if you are a stranger? Because he was looking for a city. So what is fundamental is that God, in dealing with his people, set them up on a journey. Say journey. God will always set up his people on a journey. And the people need to understand the journey. And in that journey, there's always a specific word of God that comes to define that journey. So, but how we are able to translate that journey, that word, so that the purpose of that journey is not lost, can be very difficult for man. But thank God for his word. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, he was speaking about the children of Israel, and he said, he suffered them to hunger. So that they will understand. He fed them with manna so that they will know. He made their fathers to know so that they will know that man will not live by bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the reason why God took them through that training, that moment, was so that they can harness, come to a realization that there was a word, that was a reality in the spirit. There was a, and God was going to use that to train and trim their taste buds so that they can capture the reality that God wanted to give to them. So there was a word. And that word that God communicated to them was supposed to be the righteousness that if they have handled it properly, would have taken them further into the will of God. But as long as they could not handle the will without what God gave, what the provisions of God, it looks like what God was giving was always being wasted. Our desire is that the word that is coming in this season will not just be a momentary word. Many of them really suffered hunger. They ate manna, food of angels. But yet, many of them could not capture the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. They missed a moment. Some of them did. Thank God for Caleb and Joshua. Thank God for the victories. But they missed a moment. Hallelujah. So you see that all over scriptures. But thank God for our father Abraham. He witnessed to a conversation, a training, a lifestyle that it is possible to truly acquire a taste bud. That even when you enter into the place of the promise, even in the natural, your taste bud defines you. You can handle the glories of the promised land, so to say, with a new taste bud that will guarantee that the original intent of God is not lost. Hallelujah. Talking about Jeremiah, when the children of Israel were going to go into captivity, there were all manner of prophecies. God has not ordained that they should go today, and all of that. And Jeremiah spoke. He said, go build houses, marriage, and have children. And he looked like he was a false prophet. Well, but God was letting them know that it was a long one. Because God wanted to restore the land. The land must go through a rest process. And the people need to come to a new realization of what God wanted to take them through. Eventually, some heard that, marry, have children, build houses. And they truly, truly married and had children and built houses in Babylon. And Babylon took them over. To the extent that what God intended to let them understand that marry, yes, go through this process. I'm taking through a process. Understand it. There's a word. They missed it. But thank God, that's why you begin to define the true character of the prophets. Who can capture the thoughts of God. Because prophets are people who have capacity to see. It's not just visions of a moment. By visions, they capture thoughts. They harness the thoughts of God. They hold them. They become holders of these thoughts. They hold it in understanding. They hold it so well that it becomes a reality, a hope that they run through life with. And they can pass it from one generation to the other. Hallelujah. So we thank God for a Daniel. How did a Daniel show up? What breed was he like? That in a place where everybody was marrying and settling, he didn't settle. And God could now connect him, not just to going back to Israel as a nation, physical nation, but speaking of an order in the spirit, an ultimate reign of God's righteousness. Hallelujah. So what does it say? It says to us that prophets, people who are truly prophets of the age to come, have to truly assess a nature. They have to assess a taste board. They have to assess a training. They have to assess a civilization. It's not a civilization that you will hold on to just for the moment. Because we have had several definitions of kingdom. We have had many. We have had people who said, God, if you can, when you bless me, they wrote it down. They know what God said. They will, and truly God blessed them. But when the king, when you see what they interpreted God's kingdom to be when the resources came, you know that it takes more than the general understanding. Hallelujah. We've also had people who have lost that connection because they could not truly see, sustain that flow, that direction of the Spirit, what God had in mind when he wanted to give, when he gave his word. Hallelujah. So when you say prophets of the world to come, a people who will capture an understanding of the righteousness of God. I said earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 8 about man being living by the word. There was a specific word that came to the different dispensations in men dealing with God. And that word was supposed to implant in them a hope to understand their journey. And that journey was supposed to connect a reality in God so that the purposes of God can be sustained, can be established, and the ultimate will of God can further be established. I have a philosophy, I have a position, and I still hold it that the way you have some specific patriarchs respond to God, if men truly responded to God properly in their generation, it wouldn't have taken so long from when Adam fell till when Jesus came. It wouldn't have taken that long. But every time God was trying to set up a system of response to God, to him, man tried to capture it. Some captured it well. Some did not capture it. Those who captured it, some of them could not sustain it. Because the definition of God's world, the world that God is painting to us, is not abstracted. It's not that God is going to shut down your life so that you can truly now enter into the world that is being promised. Hallelujah. So God is going to bless you. You're going to live in a natural world, but yet you have a conversation. You have captured a reality that is pulling something ahead, that is defining a system, that sets a stage of a standard of God's righteousness by which the world will not be able to hold its place in your life and in the systems that are around us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we see the vacillation, the extremes that we all go through. Even the current day church, we are struggling with trying to capture some hope. We are struggling with it. I mean, naturally. You see the hope where people truly wants to be, one of the very fundamental hope is when we give our life to Christ, particularly those who give their life to Christ much earlier than this current time, what we were told was, you give your life to Christ, you will make heaven. I mean, some of you may not have heard that, but I mean, that was a dispensation that came over the church and people had to give their life to Christ. Of course, even there are denominations that still fully teach that heaven is our goal, and fundamentally they do, because that hope was meant to keep them and capture a sense of the journey that they understand. Hallelujah. So that you know that this is not ultimately the end. But in the course of trying to do that, man now sat down with a final position, a place, as if the place was what God offered. Hallelujah. Then when man now decided to, then when God was known to help man make a move from that position, man now moved and took a vacillation and moved to the extreme again. Then you now saw purpose. You need to define, why you are waiting for, heaven is you are going to go to heaven, but heaven is not the final goal. You are then find out your purpose. Then we now see how men eventually were no more bothered about the gospel, about making heaven. And suddenly men now settled. Another extreme. They swung to the very extreme again of trying to avoid the extreme. Of course, we saw the extreme. Even we saw Peter. We saw in these epistles. We saw how he was encouraging them. We saw men who Paul had to strengthen and encourage them that if the dead will not rise from dead, let us eat. Tomorrow we'll die. Because a people were on the extreme of a certain hope that had to do with the hereafter. Hallelujah. And in trying to correct it, a people swung to the extreme again of another extreme. Hallelujah. But what God wants to give us is a conversation, is a lifestyle, a capacity that we will not just be swinging between extremes. So when you now hear prophets of the world to come, okay, sell everything that you have. Jesus is coming. You know, there was a time Christianity in Nigeria was like that. People sold everything because Jesus was coming soon. People were very, very keen to make. Then after that era, people now say, you can enjoy this world, though. So, the late Bishop, Archbishop Idausa, of blessed memory, they were awesome men. He said, in those days they were singing, take the whole world and give me Jesus. He said, no. When you take the whole world and give me, I'm just trying to paraphrase some of this. He said, that eventually taking the whole world and giving Jesus, men now resigned to a place where they were locked out of all the benefits of redemption. Hallelujah. So you see what the fathers have had to labor, trying to find the balance in trying to present us with the hope of the gospel. It has been a lot of labor. But what God wants to do is to raise us up. How will he do it? We are not just going to have words that will just be momentary. It will be a training. It will be a walking. It will be an engagement. It will be a pouring of his spirit. That will truly be, you will partake of the kingdom in his very essence. We will partake of the wisdom of the kingdom. We will partake of the intelligence of the kingdom. When I say intelligence, I want to paint a picture. Because there's so much about the kingdom of God. There's so much about the world to come that we cannot truly be positioned to push and press into if we are on the either extremes. Because while the kingdom, we are pushing into that reality of the kingdom to come, God will also harness, he will commit certain resources of time, of wisdom, that will ensure that the purposes of God are not lost in time. Hallelujah. So God will want to capture a reality, a people who walk with a reality of a future world. And they will import that future world that will define a lifestyle that when they live the life here, the lifestyle will show in how they administer all the resources of God, every resources. Hallelujah. So when we say prophets of the world to come, we say men, elites who have wisdom of God to capture the thoughts of God, who can track the mind of God and not just for a moment, but they can sustain it. And that becomes the hope that they will hold on to. And that hope will not be lost with time. With that hope, they will fully administer the resources of God. You know, there's something in your car they call the brain box, right? When you turn on your engine and your car starts distributing, turning a part of it mechanical energy is now making the car to move. After the combustion, the mechanical energy, the car is running. It also generates some electrical pulse is, because of the emotion and all the things and that, generates energy to the extent that power comes to the brain box. And it's that brain box that distributes power across all parts of the vehicle. AC and all of that, everything that is working naturally, working well, functioning properly, is the brain box. I remember once we had one issue with a car, one of our cars. The car just parked up and they said they must change brake. When they now brought brain box, when you put on AC, the car will start vibrating. I say, something, this is not the right. Hallelujah. So I'm trying to say that prophets of the world to come will be intelligentials of God's wisdom. They will capture the wisdom of God, not just as a momentary experience, but a reality of their soul. And they will become like the brain box that can truly harness the resources of God and distribute it accurately. They can guarantee that the ways of God are sustained. They will guarantee that God's purposes are sustained. And when God is thinking about the age to come, I'm promising that you are a prophet of the age to come, that even in your business, you will handle resources because God has trimmed your taste buds. You will handle them correctly. That even in your career, you can handle your career and God can trust you because he has trained you. Your taste buds are well trained. So one of the things, people have had dealings with God, right? People have had dealings. But one of the reasons why dealings are lost, sometimes there is not commensurate understanding to interpret the dealing. Sometimes also, there's a dealing of God upon your life, but the dealing, because of the weight of the dealing, once you go past the dealing, the moment you go past the dealing, the experience of that moment becomes the reward of the dealing. I don't know whether you understand what I mean by that. So it soon becomes the reward. And it costs us the purposes of God in sustaining the program of God. Hallelujah. So what we are trusting God for is that we will truly, truly capture the activities of the Spirit of God in these times, the wisdom of God, so that truly as prophets, nature will be formed. Wisdom will be given. When he said the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, it's in righteousness, peace, and joy. You will capture these realities as your life. That even when you handle the resources now, you have not lost the view. You can sustain the program of the world to come. You can sustain it because it has been factored. You've been raised to reason. You've been raised to think. You have become like the brain box that God has raised, that God can count on, that you can manage his kingdom program. Because you are truly a prophet by nature. Hallelujah. So what we are here for is that just to encourage us to say that we have been called to truly begin to desire that this gospel of being a prophet of the world to come, when you look at what God did to these patriarchs, when you see them say they desire a better country, they live their natural life, but they desire a better country. When you see them, God prepared for them a city. When you hear the word God has said concerning them, how they were able to continue to seek for a country that even in the plenty, in abundance, in lack, in changing seasons, in momentary success, we will not lose our sense of the hope, which is truly the world to come, because truly we'll become one with that reality and it will be sustained over time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just to encourage us that this gospel, we are going to see it to become very real in our engagements. We are going to see the reality of it because you are going to embody it. You are going to carry this hope into your career, into your life, and you're truly going to be a prophet. And truly when you walk with people who are overwhelmed with so much lust. You will meet people, but then when they see you, they know that something is different about you. You've captured a reality in the spirit. They know the people will even trust you with their world. But then they can see that you are separated from their world. People can trust you with very important decisions of their life. When Paul said, I have not coveted any man's gold, do you think he was just saying it in a moment? He said it because he has learned. He said, I have learned to abase and to abound. So we are seeing a civilization, a training, a raising by learning righteousness of a community of righteous men who will truly be called the intelligentials of God's life. Hallelujah.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call +234 816 236 6700. You can also contact us through WhatsApp on +234 803 688 4759. God bless you.